opinion on it?
If you wanna put a message through my heart, should be out in the morning. Hey, I'm gonna rise and shine and wake you up and move you without warning. Call my name.
Welcome back to that 590 show right here on the all-new 590 The Fan. 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside. We are at Rosalita's Cantina, 1235 Washington Avenue, for their Cinco de Mayo Fiesta. If you're in the area, make sure you swing on by, grab a margarita, a shot of tequila, some great Mexican food before you head out for the rest of your evening. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a boxing writer for HBO.com and an author. You can follow him on Twitter at Kieran Mulvaney. Kieran, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So you are in Vegas right now to cover this great boxing match, correct?
I am indeed. And, the atmosphere has really taken off here. It's at the MGM Grand, the fight across the street at the T-Mobile Arena, and we had the weigh-in for the two fighters, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Canelo Alvarez, and I think there were 3 or 4, possibly even 5,000 people just at the weigh-in. A huge, huge crowd to see these guys step on the scale, and I think we're going to have an absolutely electric atmosphere at the fight on Saturday night.
It's kind of amazing how Cinco de Mayo has kind of become an unofficial boxing holiday. Ten years ago, I was in Las Vegas for the Oscar De La Hoya Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight, and I know what you're talking about as far as the electric atmosphere goes, because everywhere you went, everybody was just talking about that fight. There was such a buzz about it. I would imagine right now that's the same.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially when you consider what is at stake, not just for boxing here, but really especially for Mexican boxing. This is the fight for bragging rights in Mexico. You know, Chavez, the son of the greatest fighter in Mexican history, and Canelo, the new young star of Mexican boxing. And you know, look, as far as I can tell, from everyone I've talked to, there are no neutrals in Mexico when it comes.
That's
when
kind
it comes
of amazing, isn't it?
You're either a Canelo guy or a Chavez guy, and there's nothing in between, I think.
And I'm reading your piece on HBO.com about Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And he's basically talking about how he's not just fighting whoever his opponent is in the ring; he's also fighting the ghost of his father, who was one of the greatest boxers ever to come out of Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, look, he's taken a lot of heat over the last few years, Chavez, for somehow squandering his talent, being, you know, not really a very dedicated guy. But, you know, I think the sort of psychological burden that the guy has, I mean, when your father is revered as the very greatest fighter to ever come out of Mexico, one of the very greatest fighters ever seen in the world, and you decide to become a boxer yourself, there's nothing you can do that is ever going to make you anything as good as your father. You're always going to pale in comparison, no matter what you do. And you have to think, I mean, that's an incredible burden to have to carry through your professional life. And it's even worse that the guy's got his same name. You know, even if Julio had called him, you know, Bob, it wouldn't be so bad if he was Bob Chavez. But he isn't. He's Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Way to go, Dad. So. Why could you make me Roberto Chavez? You had to name me Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Now I got to live up to it. I've always wondered that about famous athletes who name their kids after them. You know, like, you have Michael Jordan Jr. It's like, gee, thanks, Dad. There's not enough pressure to be your son. You got to give me the same name too. Looking at the tail of the tape between the two, they have very similar records. Canelo Alvarez is 48-1-1 with 34 knockouts. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. 52-1 with 32 knockouts. Who do you think is going to have the better fighting power in this? They both have tremendous knockout records, but who do you think is more likely to knock out the other opponent?
Well, you know, so Chavez is a naturally bigger guy. You know, he fought at middleweight and then of late has been fighting at super middleweight, even light heavyweight. Both have shown very good chins. The big question going into today's weigh-in was, because Chavez has been fighting at about 168, 169, 170 pounds, and this fight is contracted at 164.5. Would Chavez be able to make the weight easily, and would he, you know, look really drained by the process? You know, even though he's an actually bigger guy, would that affect his strength and his power? He did make the weight. He was a half a pound under that limit. He looked pretty awful. His cheeks look pretty sunken, but I've actually seen boxers look worse. Here's the amazing thing, and people who aren't familiar about this with boxing will be blown away that this could be a thing. But he weighed in today at 164 pounds. His advisors think that tomorrow at fight night, he'll weigh 185 pounds. They think he'll rehydrate up to 185. That's 20 pounds. Just primarily, basically, from hydrating and eating. So he'll probably outweigh Canelo, my guess would be, by 10 to 15 pounds on the night. And to do that properly, and if he's able to still be strong after losing the weight that he's had to lose to make the limit, that's obviously going to work very much in his favor. That said, I think that probably, you know, his best chance is going to be early. It will have taken a toll on him having to get down to this weight, and Canelo is the better boxer and the better mover. I think Chavez is going to try to land something early. Canelo is probably going to try and box him and then take him into the later rounds. And I think if it gets into the later rounds, I think we're going to likely see Chavez starting to look pretty ragged and Canelo coming on and being much stronger. And I think later in the fight, Canelo is the guy who is much more likely to score the stoppage.
What do you think is going to be the cutoff point, though? What round do you think is going to be? If Canelo can get it past, what, round six, round seven, that he's got a better chance of winning this fight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think maybe even a little bit earlier than that. I think the first three or four rounds are probably going to be Chavez's best opportunity.
Wow.
And I think after that, Canelo probably is going to start. You know, I think the smart thing for Canelo to be doing, Chavez isn't a very light on his feet kind of a guy. He doesn't have great footwork. Canelo isn't brilliant either, but he's better at it than Chavez. I think Chavez is probably going to try to land something heavy. Canelo's going to move, and he's going to start hitting him in the body. You know, he's going to figure, I'm going to start weakening him, moving in and out, flaring to the body, and then gradually stepping up his assault after that. And my own prediction is that he'll score a ninth round stoppage, Canelo. And that by the final couple of rounds, it'll be pretty one-sided. The Vegas bookmakers, their cutoff point for how long this fight lasts is 10 full rounds. That's the will go, won't go. Like I said, both guys do have pretty good chins. They're pretty resilient folks. It is entirely possible that this is a fight that will go the distance.
Kieran Mulvaney joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can read him at HBO.com and follow him on Twitter at Kieran Mulvaney. Kieran, how important is this fight for the sport of boxing? Right now, the biggest fight that everybody's talking about is one that has yet to actually happen, and there's going to be more hype around it than the fight's actually going to be good in Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. So how important is this boxing match for the sport of boxing, where this is going to be the first of maybe possibly three?
Well, you know, I think I was just having this conversation with somebody it's really important for a momentum builder. A week ago I was in London and we had 90,000 people in Wembley Stadium to watch the heavyweight championship between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. And not only do we have all those people in the stadium, we got pretty good ratings on HBO as well, and it was a terrific fight. People were buzzing about it still, and I think to then have that momentum come into this fight, well, you know, it's a smaller arena. We'll have 20,000 people. I believe it's the biggest crowd that will ever be indoors for a fight in Las Vegas. And it will be immense in Mexico. And I think, you know, we'll do pretty well with the ratings, too. I think if we start to have that kind of momentum, I think that's going to be really, really good for the sport. And obviously, the thing is, you know, the sport stands and falls. At the end of the day, you can hype stuff. You can promote it. You can do this. We can do that. At the end of the day, it's the quality of fights that matter. If we have a good fight and a fight with a clear and non-controversial and non-disputed ending, then that can only be good for the sport.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that fight that happened last week in between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. Anthony Joshua winning by knockout. Vladimir Klitschko, as you wrote, goes out on his shield. I think Vladimir Klitschko has been one of the more underappreciated heavyweights in boxing history, considering that he's number one, he's not from America, so there's that knock against him. And number two, the kind of competition that he's had to fight against hasn't exactly been top-notch, but he is.
Right.
They're great humanitarians. Both those Klitschko brothers are. So I think they kind of get underappreciated for the lack of competition that's inside the ring, but how great they are outside the ring.
I completely agree with you. Look, they are nothing but class, both, and you're right to point to both of them, Vladimir and his brother Vitaly, who is the mayor of Kiev. in Ukraine. They look, I mean, you can do a great great interview with Vladimir, and you forget the fact that he is talking to you in his fourth best language.
Yeah.
And they are never out of shape. They are never a discredit to the sport. You'll never catch them, they're like the anti-Adrian Bronners. You'll never catch them in TMZ getting up to some kind of shenanigan or being in any kind of trouble. They live very clean lives. They're classy, intelligent individuals. And I do agree with you very much that I think we probably, and it is to their misfortune that they simply have been around in a terrible heavyweight era. And I think it will only be with some years of past that we will come to appreciate, you know, how good they were. And I think this fight, I don't know what Vladimir is going to do. I don't know if he goes out on this. If he does, I think it's a fabulous note on which to go out. 41 years old in a terrific fight against a big, tough, young guy. Darn nearly had him and then just couldn't quite get it done in the end. But I think he really appreciated the fact that at the end of the fight, when he was giving his in-ring interview, 90,000 mostly British fans cheered and applauded him.
Yeah.
And in recognition of what a classy guy he is and what he brought to the table. I mean, he really went for it last Saturday. And I think this fight, if he went out with this fight rather than his previous fight, which is a terrible performance against Tyson Fury, I think it will really help with the way that he is remembered and appreciated.
Yeah, that Tyson Fury fight was unwatchable. And
it was dire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just so awful. And you can maybe hate Vladimir Klitschko, the boxer, like maybe you don't like his boxing style, or like as we've talked about ad nauseum about the lack of competition, but hating Vladimir Klitschko, the man, I think is almost impossible. I want to say it was his last fight in the United States. It was at Madison Square Garden. He made a donation to, I want to say it was the New York public school system. For every single seat that was sold in Madison Square Garden, he donated, I think it was like maybe $1,000 to New York public schools, because he said that, you know, these children without education, they have nothing. And talking about someone who has his PhD as well as his brother, he knows the importance of it. But let's talk about the person that knocked him out, Anthony Joshua. Is this going to be the start of his reign, or how do you see his career developing?
I mean, it very well could. He is in a situation that Vladimir really never was, in that he has some pretty good potential rivals. If Tyson Fury can ever get himself back down below the 350 or so pounds that he weighs right now, he might be in contention. There's Deontay Wilder over here, of course. There's a guy from New Zealand called Joseph Parker. There's a Cuban emigre called Luis Ortiz. These are all really good potential fights. The great thing about Joshua, I mean, first of all, as a boxer, is he's got some very clear strength. He's very good coming forward. He's got obviously a heck of a punch, as we saw. But he's also got enough vulnerabilities to make his fight intriguing and exciting, and you're going to want to see them. And very much like the Klitschkos, he's a really, really nice guy. He is a terrific ambassador for the sport. I hadn't spoken to him before that last fight week. It was the first time that I met him. Terrific interview. He thinks about his answers. He's very thoughtful. He's not programmed at all. And he also very much a guy who very much has this uplifting message. You know, he keeps saying to fans, look, this isn't rocket science what I do. It's just punching people. It's like, you know, you guys can go out and achieve your dreams. If you just want to go and try them. Just, you know, try and do whatever it is that you want to do, and you can do it. He's a very positive figure. He's beloved, really, in the United Kingdom. He might be the most popular human being in Britain right now. I think definitely it could be. I don't know whether he does a rematch. I don't know whether he fights, who he fights next. But, yeah, I think for now we've got some real excitement, some real potential. I think Anthony Joshua, who fought last week, Canelo, who fights on Saturday, I think right now are probably the two biggest stars in boxing, if you assume that Floyd Mayweather is retired, except for when he decides to fight MMA fighters. They are the two, and they're fighting back-to-back. And I think right now it's their world, and we're playing in it.
Yeah, that Mayweather-McGregor fight, if it ever does happen, and I think it will because there's just too much money to be made. I don't think people are really too concerned about whether or not it's going to be a good or bad fight. I think it's going to be an awful one. But because they're both so good behind the microphone that this fight will happen, and then when everybody watches it, they're going to be like, yeah, this was a bad idea. I think that's what everybody's reaction is going to be.
Once again, people will shell out money, and once again, they'll be disappointed, and, you know, and Floyd and Connor will be laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, well, I refuse to pay money for a Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight because his fights are just boring. I don't pay for them. I will watch them. I will go someplace and pay the extra $5 for like the cover charge to go watch it on a pay-per-view at a chain restaurant. But I'm not plopping down the $65 of my own money to watch it at my place. I'm just not going to do it. Kieran Mulvaney joining us right now on the Belmont Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Kieran Mulvaney and follow him or read him at HBO.com. So let's get your prediction for this Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight. Is it going to be Alvarez by decision? Is that your official prediction?
It is going to be Alvarez. My official prediction is Alvarez by stoppage in the ninth round. I think that Julio Cesar Chavez is going to win back a lot of fans and admirers because he, rather like Vladimir Klitschko last week, I think is going to go out on his shield. He knows what is at stake here. He knows he can't phone this in. He can't be disappointing. He's got to, at the very least, just show real Mexican pride and heart, and I think he probably will. And I think ultimately he'll expend himself attempting to win. Canelo will take it over and will probably be teeing off on him when either the referee Kenny Bayless or Chavez's corner has trainer Nacho Berrestain step in and stop the fight in around the ninth round.
Kieran, we appreciate your insight as always, sir. Enjoy the fight this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Kieran. That is Kieran Mulvaney from HBO.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kieran Mulvaney. Let's head to the... There we go. It is now time for another That 590 Show Sports Update and our very own Matt Rocchio.
It is halftime in Toronto, and the Raptors have what seems like their first lead of the entire series.